I pray that I've covered everything. As is our custom, let's turn to John chapter 3, please. I'd like to begin there, and it's going to be a verse that we do reference again in the lesson. So let's get started, and then we'll talk a little bit about what the Lord has given me tonight for the body. We're going to start. I'd like to read, and you can read along with me, please. We're going to start John chapter 3. We're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18. Is everybody ready? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes in him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Tonight, we are going to talk about and learn a little bit more about something that the Holy Spirit gave me. And I'm telling you, when you have sat before the Lord and you've gotten direction on something, there are intervals that you go through as far as preparing a lesson. And one of the things that the Lord began to share with me was a title. And tonight's message, we're going to talk about the character of covenant people. The character of covenant people. And we're going to delve into the variations and the of just a few examples of covenant in the Bible. As a Christian, we are heirs to the covenant God made with Abraham and Jesus. Knowing how to operate within our covenant and being obedient to God's word positions us to experience victory in every area of our lives. In every area. Now, what I'd like to do also is just give you, just from the dictionary standpoint, I'd like to just pull out a few definitions of character. In a few of these definitions, it's just going to be very short, so just try to hang in there and understand it, and I will speak a little bit about it. One definition said it's the aggregate of features and traits that form the individual nature of some person or thing. And basically, for those, an aggregate is just a sum total of. It's a collection of things. Another definition was one such feature or trait or characteristic. Moral or ethical qualities, and qualities of honesty, courage, and integrity. Okay? Just keep those in mind as we begin to explain and delve into character. One of the first things God promised Abraham was to bless and multiply him. If you would, please turn over in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 15. I want to begin to look at a few examples of covenant. John chapter 15, excuse me, Genesis chapter 15. And what I'm going to be doing, in most instances, I'm going to be reading out of various translations tonight. So I would ask kindly that you just kind of follow along with me in your respective translations, because and I do that because I find that whether it's the NIV or New Living Translation or the Amplified, and sometimes even the New King James, it really extrapolates and explains very thoroughly what the point and intent is. So I believe that this will definitely bring home some points to you with clarity. I'm going to start in the NIV translation, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 8 first, and then we're going to continue along in that vein. So please follow along with me, and if you have the NIV, all the better. And again, this is the Lord's covenant with Abraham. Okay? After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign God, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Verse 6, and I want you to underline, highlight this verse in your Bibles, if it's not already. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So in one instance, I just want to pause there. In one instance, you see in verse 6, Abram is exuding, he believes, and it was credit to him as righteousness. But watch how the Lord begins to then deal with him, because Abram questioned how he would receive the promise. Now, think about God and his infinite mercy. Here I am, the Lord speaking to my chosen man to cut covenant with. In one instance, he speaks a word of faith and believes. And in the Old Testament, when you see believes, that's just another means for faith. And we'll get to that a little bit. But God then enters into a blood covenant with him. As we continue to read, look at verse 9, and we're going to read through verse 9 and 18, and you'll see exactly what I'm referring to. So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcass, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for a certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possession. You, however, will go to your ancestors in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure." When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, say on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, "To your descendants, I give this land from the Wadi," and the Wadi simply means or river of Egypt, "to the great river, the Euphrates." I don't know if many of you have been in this ministry for any length of time, and particularly when Pastor Clinton was ministering, I used to be just so engaged when he spoke about the covenant. Because do you remember when he used to say when God cut covenant with Abram? And I don't know if many of you were here when he began and he illustrated in the Old Testament in old times, it was literally where a man and when men agreed, they would literally cut the palm of their hands and shake hands and an exchange of blood. And when that blood was a seal that this covenant existed, and they honored that. Now, you don't have to go there now, but I want you to also just make note of this. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, many of you may know that, but it ties perfectly right here. And it says, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And simply, remission is just another word for forgiveness. So without the shedding of blood, keep in mind the shedding of blood as we continue in this lesson. God cut a covenant to bless and exceedingly multiply Abram and his seed. Underline seed, because we're going to talk about who's the seed. And because of Abram's this covenant, when he was in relationship with God, God then decided, after they had cut this covenant, "You are no longer Abram, but now I'm going to call you Abraham, or the father of many nations." When Abraham, and let's turn over, please, quickly to Genesis chapter 17. And I'm going to continue with a few scriptures. And I know I sensed right in this, as I was preparing for this lesson, that many were going to be here, that they're going to say, "Yeah, this is the old covenant, brother. Let's get to the new covenant." We are going to get there. We're going to get there. Just hang in there. I'm just, as Deacon William likes to say, we're going somewhere. I want you to come with me, okay? So Genesis chapter 17, we're going to start at verses 1 through 7. And again, I'm reading out of the New International Version. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Say, greatly increase your numbers. Verse 3. When he said that, Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be a father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. Say, very fruitful. I will make nations. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Glory to God. So do you see that how meticulous God wrote this covenant specifically for Abraham, his descendants, and the seed? Okay? Please turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to look at some things there. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm going to jump over and read this out of the New Living Translation. So please, again, follow along with me. We're going to start in verse 13. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently. Say, waited patiently. And he received, say he received, what God had promised. If you don't have that verse highlighted, please highlight that. Because as I did in, I asked you to highlight, was Genesis chapter 6, 15, verse 6. I'd like you to also highlight Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. Now I'm going to continue to through verse 16. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any questions, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to be seeking and going behind the curtain. Because we have been given access through Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 20, Jesus has already gone in there for us. Hallelujah. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So if you understand, and I'm going to ask for a little participation, just a little participation. So I'd like you to turn to the person sitting next to you and just ask them this. How many amens did you bring with you tonight? Well, right there would have been a good place to start using one. And I say that because if you understand the significance of what Jesus did for us and how there is exact correlation between the Abrahamic covenant and Jesus' covenant. And we're going to see that we know that we have a covenant with better promises. Glory to God. So that we as believers don't have to be ashamed. We can walk around with our heads up knowing that the God we serve cannot lie. He said it and he will do it. He has spoken it and he will make it good. And we have to walk in that. We have to know that there is a certain assurance that we must demonstrate. So when we go into these hospital rooms and we're ministering to the people, we can minister boldly because we're not relying on ourselves, but it's what the work has already been done. We just have to identify with that work and say it's done. The healing has already taken place. You don't have to walk in heal sickness, but we can walk in divine health. We don't have to be broke because God has given us everything. He's blessed us abundantly. And when I say broke, I'm not just talking about financially broke. Many of us need to understand there is something that we have to exude. And God has already done the work. But if you don't receive what he's done, you're going to walk beneath your privileges. You're not going to walk in the authority of the believer. But when you know who you are and whose you serve,
yes,
you can walk with your shoulders square. You can walk with your head up and declare that Jesus is Lord because he's living big in you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Words are the most sacred part of the covenant. God established a covenant between himself, Abraham, and Abraham's seed. Please turn over to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to continue to look at some things. Folks, it's through Christ Jesus that we've been made to partake in the covenant. We've been made to partake in it. There is no choice. There is no option. It's already been done. Glory to God. And again, I'm going to continue to read out of the New Living Translation. And I'm starting in verse 16. And again, tonight, this is the school of the Bible, correct? So we're going to go through some scriptures. We're not going to gloss over it. We're going to do some deep dives. So I hope you bought your scuba gear tonight because we're getting ready to do some diving into God's word. We're going to uncover this. We're going to learn. This word is going to be sown in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart. that I may not sin against thee. Let the word of God permeate your very being tonight. This is the school of the Bible. Galatians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 16. God gave the promises to Abraham and his child. Listen to this. And notice that the scripture doesn't say to his children, as if it meant many descendants. Rather, it says to his child. And that, of course, means Christ, Jesus. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God would be breaking his promise. For if the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be a result of accepting God's promise. But God graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. Verse 19. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child who was promised. Follow along with me now. God gave his law through angels to Moses, who was the mediator between God and the people. Verse 20. Now a mediator is helpful in more than one party must reach an agreement. But God, who is one, did not use a mediator, hallelujah, when he gave his promise to Abraham. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin, so we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Verse 23. But the way of faith in Christ was available to us. We are placed under guard by the law. We are kept in protective custody, hallelujah, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Verse 24, let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law of our guardian. Hallelujah. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. Hallelujah. Do you see how they connect? You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So everything that we read that Abraham received, now because we have accepted Christ Jesus, we get the benefits. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Will you please turn over to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2. And again, I'm staying in the New Living Translation for this scripture as well. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 11, and we're going to read through to verse 13. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know his covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. Do you know it's the blood that brings us near to Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory. It is through Jesus Christ that we are part of the covenant that was made with Abraham. Please turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Pastor, is it all right if I continue? I have. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 20. And again, follow along with me, please. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. And I like the New Living Translation. It says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. Glory. I'm going to give you a little quote that I would like you to make a note of. Obedience is a key component for covenant people to get hold of. Obedience is a key component for covenant people to get a hold of. We need to get that. We need to settle that. We need to be assured it's done. I'm going to walk in obedience. Say this. I'm going to walk in obedience. I'm going to follow God's voice. I'm going to read his word. And I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Hallelujah. We're going to be jumping back and forth. I'd like you to jump back over to Genesis, please, chapter 22. And as we talk about obedience, we're going to see what I would like to just illustrate as one of many examples of just outstanding obedience. Genesis chapter 22, verses, and again, I have a lot to read, so you, I want you to follow along with me. And I'm going to read this again out of the new NIV, excuse me, NIV, verses 1 through 18. This is Genesis chapter 22. Sometimes later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham?" "Here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to the servants, "Stay here where the donkey, excuse me, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." I need to stop there because there's a significant learning for all of us. God is going to give us some things to do. He's going to ask us to do some things. One of the most important things that I think that you can learn from just the first part of this example is when you're walking in obedience and he's given you something to do, never lose mind and never lose sight to worship God. To worship him. Worship him. As we were doing earlier this evening, there is a stirring that happens. We know the Bible says God inhabits the praises. When we begin to worship God, there is a significant thing that not only happens with God, but there's a corresponding action and benefit that we receive when we worship him. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son, Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went up together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, "Abraham, father?" Now you can imagine, now dad, what are we getting ready to do here? Abraham said, "Yes, my son. The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said. "But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Remember this, that lamb. Because God did provide the lamb. And it's the lamb of God, his son Jesus. But we'll get to that. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here am I, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called to the place, the Lord will provide. So I say to you tonight, church, when you're at that place and you know that it is something well beyond you that the Lord is asking you to do, you need to make a significant memorial and say, the Lord will provide for me just like he provided for Abraham. He will. Yes, he will. Glory to God. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from the heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. One act of obedience. One simple act of obedience caused all of his descendants to reap cities, to reap harvests that they didn't have any right to other than what Abraham did. God chose Abraham because he knew Abraham would obey him. And this is the other thing. He chose him also because he knew Abraham would teach the covenant to his son Isaac. Don't you think that that was a learning experience for Isaac? Whew. Oh boy, thank you, Jesus. I'd like to give you a couple of pointers, and I kind of have characterized these as character builders. Character builders. For those taking notes, I'll read as slowly as possible because I think it's important that you get these. Abraham demonstrated his faith by saying God would provide himself a lamb. He demonstrated faith in God by declaring, before he saw the ram in the thicket, he declared, me and the boy will return. So Abraham spoke in faith. Abraham walked in obedience until the end, which proved he feared God. And because of Abraham's obedience, God stopped him from sacrificing his son, Isaac, and allowed his son, Jesus, to be sacrificed instead. Because of his obedience, God was so moved by Abraham's obedience that God himself sent his own son to be the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus became that Lamb of God. Abraham had a prophetic vision about Jesus being the sacrifice. If you turn over quickly to John chapter 8, verse 56, it makes reference of this. It says, your father Abraham, and this is Jesus speaking, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. So God gave Abraham a vision. Covenant people have to be willing to do what God instructs them without delay. Without delay. Faith in your covenant connects you to the promise. People who know and understand how to operate in the covenant will experience victory in every area of their lives. Covenant people read the promises in the Bible knowing God is under covenant obligation to keep his word. Do you know that confidence is a characteristic of covenant people? You must be confident in what God has promised. It's not confident in our own ability. It's confident in what he said, that he will do it. He will perform it. A covenant person stands on the promises of God without wavering. A covenant person stands on the promises of God without wavering. Covenant people won't allow negative words to distract them from what God has promised. And this is something that we can rest on. Please quickly turn over to Psalm 111, verse 5. And if you don't have this highlighted in your Bible, this is another pillar foundation on God's covenant promise to us. Psalm chapter 111, verse 5. And again, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He always remembers it. And please listen to these closing comments that I have for you. Under the old covenant, which is the law, God required us to love him with all our hearts, souls, and mind. And that's repeated in multiple places. You can read Deuteronomy 6, 5, Deuteronomy 10, 12, Deuteronomy 11, 19. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. But something very interesting happened. Under the new covenant, which is grace, God extended his grace and his love by sending his son Jesus to show the world how much he loved us. Hallelujah. I want you to look at two verses of Scripture very quickly with me. They're both in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, please. Very quickly. Thank you for your patience, but hang in there with me, because God is not through. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. We've got a far better covenant. Far better. Based on better promises. And quickly turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at one verse there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. Did you get that?
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. I want you to write this down, please. Obedience brings the blessing. The blessing brings the increase. Can you say that with me? Obedience brings the blessing. The blessing brings the increase. Now, just so that you know that that's scriptural, and I don't want you to think I'm making just things up for you to quote, because I know we're a word church. I know you. Everybody wants. Let's see what the word says. Let's turn to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. And I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version. And it says, though your beginnings were small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. Job chapter 8, verse 7. Job chapter 8, verse 7. Though your beginnings were small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. And you know what I thought of? This scripture is exactly in line with the prophecy regarding the pastors and ROCC. That our best days are ahead. Glory to God. Your best days are ahead. Thank you, Father. I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. I pray that the Lord will continue to speak additional truths to you regarding your understanding of this covenant. We have been given a covenant through Jesus Christ and his shed blood that enables us to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity to share with your people, Lord God, your truth. I pray, Lord, that I have said everything that you needed me to say. I pray, oh God, that this word has been etched on every heart. I pray that in the middle of the night, Father, that you will continue to reveal in the midnight hour your truth to your people, Lord. Let everything be done decently and in order. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity. I am grateful, Lord, to be able to share the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is Lord, and he lives big in us today. I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name. There may be the